Hello, I'm Pastor Scott Seeke from Amazing Grace Lutheran Church in Lawrenceville, Georgia. Thank you for downloading this week's sermon. Please visit tisgrace.org to learn more about our church. Enjoy. A couple years ago, it was time to buy a new car. We had simply outsized the ones that we had. This is not our first rodeo. We've done this before. We have a process. We figure out kind of what size we're looking at, and then, right, Consumer Reports. Consumer Reports is fantastic. I don't know if you use them, but we've used them for every car we've bought. They've got the ratings for the reliability of the year of the car, and it breaks it down by all these different categories. And so we found a car that we kind of liked. It looked like it was about the right size. Went on Consumer Reports, had good ratings. Wasn't like exceptional, but it was very good in all the categories. A Mazda 5. You've seen it out there. It's a red one. We found the ratings, and the ratings were good. We found a car we liked, and we bought it. You ever heard of a Friday car? Yeah. A Friday car is a car that was made on Friday when everybody just wanted to go home, and they didn't really care. That was this car. And this is my main criteria for buying a car, right? My main criteria for buying a car is that it works. That's like thing number one, okay? I mean, if it doesn't work, it's no good to me. It's thing number one, and this car just kind of, over the course of 2 years, sort of refused to work regularly. I mean, it was always in the shop for this and that and the other thing. And over the course of 2 years of driving here and there and commuting and taking road trips, I slowly, gradually came to completely and totally hate that car. I just hated it. Like I've never hated a car that I drove before. I just wanted to be done with it. Then I thought, you know, for fun, let's see how much money I've put into this car. So I went to the mechanic, asked the mechanic how much I'd spent, went on Blue Book, found out the car was worth $4,000, did some math, and found out that over the course of 2 years, we had put $11,000 into this car. Do you know what you can drive for that much? It's like a Jaguar. And you know what the Jaguar would have done? It would have worked. Even a Jaguar would have worked better than this thing. So that was it, right? I was done. So we did what we've done in the past, which worked well, which was we thought about the size of the car we wanted, went on Consumer Reports again, and found a new model that we liked, that we thought would be good, is the Honda Pilot, right? We've had good luck with Hondas, really good. Apparently, they like take Fridays off or something. I'm not sure how they do that, but Hondas never seem to break, the ones we've owned. So we found a Honda Pilot, and we kind of found, okay, the mileage range in the year we're looking for. I've never been in a Honda Pilot. My wife had never been in a Honda Pilot. So we just kind of looked around, and we found one. We thought, you know, this is more than we want to spend, but the mileage is low for the price. We've never looked at one. Let's go look at it. I was so confident that we were going to buy this car that I had scheduled lunch with Mimi like an hour and a half after the appointment. Okay, that's how confident I was. Because you know how this goes, right? You walk into the car dealership, you drive the car, you say you like it, the guy goes back, spends an hour and a half with his manager while they just sip coffee because they already know what they're going to do. And then they bring back some lowball offer on the trade-in. It's like $1,100, and you're like, forget it, and I'm out. So we go. We drive the car. I like the Honda Pilot. Honda Pilot's a good driving car. We go back. The guy doesn't even, like, really go talk to his manager at all. He just, like, sits at his computer, prints out a thing, hands us a piece of paper, and the trade-in value on the car was $4,000. And I was like, that's really interesting, because we were just told like a week ago that it needed $800 in repairs. So I was like, okay. And I kind of thought maybe we should take this deal before he changes his mind, you know, as one of those things. But we had a decision to make at that point, because as I mentioned, that was more than we wanted to spend. Okay? We could spend it, would have been fine, but the savings account wasn't going to be what I would call robust at that point. Okay, and so it was an evaluation because, you know, is the roof going to start leaking? You know, is the dryer going to break? Is the plumbing going to go? Who knows? You never know. But It's a really good deal on a car that we like. These are decisions that you and I have made over and over, and we're going to make more and more of them as we get older, right? These are just decisions that grown-ups have to make. How much do you need to have in the bank versus how much should I spend? It's a decision we make all the time. And it's a decision that we are talking about these days as a church. We're making those decisions in council, and we're talking about them publicly, right? We've mentioned the St. James Grant in different communications and asking folks to send in kind of what they think that should be used for. That's part of it. That's part of the picture. But the bigger piece of it is that right now we have money in the bank. We've got, it depends on how you do the math, right? Because it's accounting, right? It always kind of depends on how you do the math. We've got money that is designated, okay? And that money has to be spent on certain things. So that is kind of set aside for purposes of this conversation. Because if it comes down to me getting paid or not, we really can't even use the designated money for that. Like, that's, you can't use that. So what we've got is about $90,000 in the bank. Council's projecting about a $20,000 deficit for the year, give or take. So that means there's about 70-ish, maybe, or 90. Again, that's the where your, how you do the math thing comes in. But we've got this money. So, okay, well, how much is enough? Do we need to save more than that for a rainy day? Do we need to save less than that for a rainy day? And if we set an amount, which, I mean, different churches do different things. I've been in churches that saved 3 months living operating expenses, 4 months. I've been in churches that lived hand to mouth and a prayer, you know. Different churches do it differently. But how much is enough? And then once we set that, well, then what happens? Then if we have more than that, well, what do we do with that? And if we don't have that much, then what do we do about that? We're talking about all these questions, asking them. And they're interesting, and you'll be part of it. And there'll be some kind of a policy that comes out of this, and we'll figure it out. But we're asking the same question that this guy fundamentally kind of asks and misses the point on. Because there's this guy, right? And he's this, got a lot of stuff, right? I mean, he's a farmer. He's got so much stuff that it doesn't fit in his barns, right? Not just barn, barns, as in more than one barn. Raise your hand if you have more than one barn. That's what I thought. This guy's got so much stuff, he needs barns to put it in. And he decides, well, look, now I've got what I need. Now I'm safe. Now I don't have to worry about anything. And the next day, he dies. He dies because he puts his trust in the wrong thing. You see, the thing about having money as a person, me personally, is that I could save all the money in the world and I could leave here and I get hit by a truck. Now, if I'm gonna get hit by a truck, I'd rather be in a Honda Pilot than a Mazda 5. I'll just be honest with you. So that was a factor. That could happen. When we were younger, we met with a retirement planner. And we kind of asked, you know, what would it take to retire early? You know, like what kind of savings we have to do and all this stuff. He did the math, and basically, you know, we'd be eating Campbell's chicken soup, but we could retire at 60. No thanks. You know, it just wasn't worth it. Churches have to make this decision too. And it's tempting to think that money in the bank is security. That makes us safe, that makes us sustainable, that means that now we know that we're going to be around for a while. Let me tell you what. I have seen my fair share of churches that died with $2 million in the bank. Millions of dollars in the bank. Huge buildings, 30 rooms, gymnasiums, multi-million dollar organs, dead. They ended up with 11 people, Close the doors. Sold it all, gave it away. Having money in the bank does not give us security. And that's what this guy in this story failed to understand. Now, we're going to ask important questions about our money here as a church. And we're going to come up with a policy, and no, I don't know what the right answer is, and I'm not going to tell you that this is what I think, because I don't know. There are smart people here. We'll figure it out together. We're going to hopefully pray a lot. Read our Bible some more. We'll figure it out. We'll talk to you. It'll be great. We'll get it sorted. We'll get that part done. But the important thing, what this guy failed to understand, is to realize that no amount is enough. It's never enough. We could have $2 million and that could be the end of it. I had lunch with Don and Kelly a couple weeks ago. And I'm going to have you do a workshop on this, I think, because this was really good. And I'm going to steal it. I'm going to totally steal it. Thrivent has the five S's for financial management.
Where you are in your financial life.
To describe where you are in your financial. You want to just, I'll just sit down and you're going to. Because I'll probably butcher the five S's too. The five S's are surviving, struggling, stable, secure, and the final S is like the seventh dwarf I can never remember, is surplus. Thank you. Surviving, struggling, stable, secure, surplus. Now they are what they sound like, right? If you're just surviving, you're just barely surviving. If you're struggling, you're struggling. Right, exactly. I mean, these are all fairly obvious. Here's the thing. This was the thing that Don said, and this is why we need to do more about this. He said that the jump from secure to surplus, it's all in your mind. It's all in your mind. At some point, each of us individually, and we as a church, have to decide we have enough. We're going to live like God has given us enough. That's what we're going to do. Amen.